Greetings from Moscow. It's I left the Daven last night at 9:30. Just took rest in the car and got to the airport, came to Moscow, and Ananda Govardhan, some of you may met her. She was near the airport, and she has a place called Shanti Shakti, which is pretty amazing place. It's an imported carved sandstone from India on the outside, and she had one place here. Now she's building a bigger place, and I just came. I have quarters here for giving class. It's in the place is an apartment and a little place where I can give class. I just moved in. It's not even completely open yet. But just trying to get reception at a different place posed some challenges, and now I'm waiting for my iPad to boot up so that I can continue with the Bhagavatam. But, just kind of arrived in the time difference a little bit. So hopefully I'm not too disoriented. But as so many of you are committed to, I think time flies. So many committed here, speaking in English, they say, it takes two to tango. And it's a great dynamic. It's actually one of the main dynamics in which Krishna consciousness manifests in the heart. Krishna consciousness manifests in the heart by the pleasure of Krishna. That's how bhakti works. It's bhakti is the path of grace. Dami Buddhi Yogam Twam Yena Mam Upayantite. For those who are worshiping with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come back to me. So Dami Buddhi Yogam Twam. And this is kind of like a shared, it's interesting, this is kind of a shared sadhana. Because to speak, you need to hear, and to hear, you need someone to speak. But there's a dynamic here, and the dynamic is shundata swatata krishna punya shravana kirtana hidyanta stoya bhajani vidyanoti sarit satam. That Krishna is sarit satam, he's close in our heart. And when we have the katha of Krishna, which takes two, Shrindata Swakata Punya Shravana Kirtana. The Shravana, the Kirtana, it's very punya. It's very kriti. It's pious. It's the ultimate piety. And Shrindata Swakata Punya Shravana Hijanta Sto Yabhadvani. Krishna is in the heart, Suritsatam, he's closed. Abhadvani, and he destroys what is inauspicious. Vidhanoti, he cleans what is inauspicious. And this is one of the important aspects of bhakti. One of the important aspects of bhakti is that it's more powerful in community, actually. It's really powerful in community. Because that reciprocation among devotees, that community of devotees, that community it's an offering, it's an offering of pleasure to Krishna. It's actually a ceremony. Everything we do is an offering of love. And just like in chanting Hare Krishna, please excuse me, I don't give class on Tom, somehow the iPad is taking forever to charge up since we got here. Everything is an offering of love. That bhakti, this is bhakti. Bhakti is an intention to please that manifests in activity. Krishna nu shila, that are connected to Krishna. It's activities that are trying to please Krishna. So, everything devotee is an offering. And when you have bhakti, you reflect on everything you do that it should be pleasing to Krishna. And pleasing to Krishna means that it's done according to Krishna's desire, which is manifest even within our heart by the sincere introspection to the voice of God in the heart called the Paramatma, or in that voice of Krishna manifests externally. It manifests externally through the Shastra, Acharya Purushoveda, as understood and presented by the teacher, the Acharya. And when our activities are linked up like that, we're very conscious. And it's like you're conscious when you're cooking, how much salt, you know, how much spice, you know, how long I should cook. So we're conscious, our life becomes reflected in that way. You know, how do we please Krishna? And the main way we please Krishna is actually the desire to please Krishna. And the expression of that desire to please Krishna, to get Krishna's mercy. So we actually have the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga time. So we actually get that understanding. What does Krishna want? But the first thing he wants is our desire. Our desire that we want to please Krishna. And therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, more than anything else, it's an opportunity for God to hear our hearts. And hear our hearts through our chanting. And our hearts is, I want to, I want Krishna. And wanting Krishna means wanting to please Krishna, which means wanting to understand Krishna. And therefore, the great devotees are the ones who are hearing. Krishna's hearing their heart, the devotee's hearing Krishna's heart. He's listening. What does Krishna want? And he's finding it out through the guru, through the sadhu, through the shastra. And through the integrity and sincerity of the heart. So what Krishna wants becomes manifest. So this process of chanting and hearing, it's really what Krishna wants. He really wants that. He wants us to be who we are, which is devotees. Gail knows this, that I read this many times. One of my favorite sentences in Prabhupada's purport is that the perfected state of the living entity is called the devotee. He wants us to be devotees. So our main desire here is to be a devotee, which means we have to want to be devotees. That's what bhakti is. It's that desire. I want to please Krishna. I want to have bhakti. I want to be a devotee. And the main expression of that, which pleases Krishna, is expressing that, which is called kirtan, and learning about that, which is called shravanam. And then Krishna blesses with this process, I think, is important for all of us. And that's why I have regular people that make their effort to actually hear. And that's why, and I'm not tooting my own horn, it's something I need very, very much, is why I make all effort wherever I am to try to get on this sangha. It's just so important to me. From the platform of my service, to the platform of the loving relationships I've developed with the people that are listening, serve them, so, and for my own edification, it's one of the most important sadhanas that I have. And therefore, in Vrindavan, every day at 4 o'clock, and I get a group of people that are interested in hearing. I'm not interested in just so many people. I want people that really want to hear. And because there's something that's special that manifests in that. And sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. I'm not a literary aficionado, is that what you call it? but I don't know. There's only a few books I read when I was young. The Mouse That Roared. I remember that was one. I seem to forget what it's about. Somehow it's stuck in my mind right now. And Of Mice and Men, and that John Steinbeck. So, somehow or other, I mean, it's been a half hour and I'm still not getting anything on my iPad for some reason. So, I wouldn't call winging it, but I'm just trying to say something of relevance according to the moment. So anyway, I guess what I'll do now is, if that's not there, I'll just share with you what's been happening in Vrindavan. And tell you what I've been speaking about. But Vrindavan Temple, at least my perception, I've been there for 37 years, it's really well managed. And I have a sense of that. It's such a pleasure to see it, to see how many people are being empowered. Panchagoda was the president. How many people are being empowered? I love to see it. And when you empower people, then what happens is, then the leader's only portfolio or service is to interact with all the people that are in power. He doesn't have to do any particular thing except that. And it's enough, because more than anything else, people want service. When a drop of bhakti comes into your heart, you want service. And service is the greatest gift. So people will come forward when there's an empowering leader. And when that's there, what can be done is amazing. I mean, at least in Krishna consciousness, outside of India, every country is a poor country. There's so much. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't. I've been going every morning to Mangalarti. I don't even stay in the main darshan mandap. And I stay in the back a little bit and see the deities. Just so many people. Actually, by Prabhupada's grace, Krishna consciousness is actually spreading in India. In India, it must be like when Christianity started to take off, seriously, it's spreading like wildfire. And my God, you know, you go in the evening, discharges. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm solving my technical difficulties. But if I get to the Bhagavatam, I'll get to the Bhagavatam today. If I don't, then you all excuse me. So it's just wonderful to see. And with that comes so many resources. I mean, the income of ISKCON Vrindavan is... I think a couple $100,000 a month. They probably spend that much, but... And, my God, when they have festivals, what they can do with flowers is just mind-blowing. They have the boat festival, so the whole courtyard is filled with water. And... The whole boat festival, but they make a mosaic on water. I mean, which has Jai Shri Radhe or the deity's name. It just looks like an incredible flower mosaic. I don't know how they do it in water because it seems that the things would float away, but it's just this beautiful, the whole thing. It's just covered with flowers and designs. And then, you know, the 24-hour kirtan. Oh, my God, it's just so enlivening to go sit there and the quality, the power, and just see thousands and thousands of people are coming into the temple. And just this powerful kirtan, and everyone is chanting. It's like thousands and thousands. It's wonderful in New York, the six-hour kirtan, and people, maybe someone stops, but in India... You know, everyone, they're in the temple. They're just chanting and chanting with their hearts, with ecstasy. And they're hearing basically the pure name of Krishna. So, it's very, very enlivening to see. And it reaffirms the empowerment of Prabhupada. The empowerment of Prabhupada, how his vision... of organize things. It's to maintain Krishna and to share it, and just seeing how many people from all over the world's hearts touch. It's unprecedented. Now that's my perception from staying in Vrindavan, and also in New York, how many people are coming forward. In Krishna consciousness. Next Saturday, I start my a 9-week seminar in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have 25 people, serious people, signed up. They want to know more. They want to learn more. They want to go further. They want to go deeper. Anyway, it's just if I could just remember Vrindavan. Just before I left, I went to the flower fields, just 15 minutes, sit with the Mali, the flower maker. The wife is just cooking and just eating those Brijbasi rotis. Anyway, finally I had figured out the computer is booting up the, I don't know if I should just give the Bhagavatam or, okay, well, let me give something from the Bhagavatam today, even though it took some time and I'm just sorry for this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let's read some Prabhupada. Okay, Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Saksurun Vatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Siyam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kopa Rubyascha Kripa Shindu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Ghor Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Move to Bhagavatam 178. We have about 20 minutes. I can give you something. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sasamhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Liberte Niratam Muni. The great sage Vyas, after compiling Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So, we're continuing. Okay. If anything goes wrong, it's rare. I have the computer set up and the phone, so just send me a message. So, you know, it's the beginning of the Bhagavatam is the history, and the sages of Naimisharanya are inquiring into that history, and they. And the history, the first inquiry is about Vyasadeva. And Narada told the story how he was inspired to write it. And culminating in his dissatisfaction in writing the Vedas and his guru telling him he hasn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. I don't want to go back too much, but what a significant... What a significant point. That's going to be the source of all our satisfaction. And therefore, the panacea or the cure is glorifying Krishna. That's the cure. That's the goal. It's the process. So, heeding his teacher's instructions, he Vyasadeva went into meditation, and because the knowledge is to end suffering. There's no suffering, there's no need for knowledge. Because it means that people are rightly situated. They really don't need much, there's no impetus. The impetus for is suffering. I mean, even in one sense, that's why we're here in this class. We feel that it'll contribute to making us happier. And it'll contribute to making us happier. So, you know, a scripture is first based on seeing, well, what is the problem? Why are people suffering? He went right to the root. It's because people want to be an enjoyer, a position which they can't have by their own constitution, and God fulfills it by an opposed illusion that allows them to think they're the center of the world, which is called the mind, the material mind and body. And therefore they suffer. If the suffering is a little bit superfluous, it's like a dream, there's legitimate suffering, but it's not really happening in you. I mean, it is and it's not. Therefore, we suffer a nightmare. But the suffering, the cause of the suffering is there, but the cause of the suffering is not real. So our cause of our suffering is not real. We're reflecting the consciousness on the mind and the body. And therefore, the cure to suffering is to want to be what we are, which is part of Krishna, part of God, and a servant of God. And therefore, spiritual life, the whole pivotal point of spiritual life, is developing that desire. And the process of developing that desire is called bhakti yoga. By focusing the consciousness on Krishna, it awakens our natural desire to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, which is who we are. And when we develop that desire, then, when God no longer needs to cover us with the illusory energy, because we're covered, because we want to be covered. Covering our true nature is satisfying our desires. Even though our desires may be perverted or our faith is misdirected, but still it's there. We want something that's not good for us, but God somehow facilitates it in a certain way. By the illusion that we're the enjoyers and controllers. But because not really who we are, it really can't touch us in a core way. So it's actually the miseries are superfluous, and so is the suffering superfluous. So he saw that it can be cured by the linking process of devotional service. And therefore, he can follow the Srimad Bhagavatam. And having done that, by really just, it says here, by Anukramya, seems like by editing, by correction and repetition, by doing that, having done that, then he disseminates it. He teaches it. And he teaches it to his son, who is already engaged in self-realization. And that was the second question. Now, the sages of Dharmacharanya are hearing, wanting to know a little bit more in depth about Sukadeva Goswami, how he learned the Bhagavatam and who he was, because he would be the second speaker. First speaker is Vyas, the second speaker is Sukadeva, then the third is Sutta. And remember, it's Sutta Goswami now who's being questioned by the sage of Dharmacharanya, telling him, I'm now going to tell it to you for the third time, because I heard it from them. And then the sage of Dharmacharanya is, well, we want to hear about it. So he told about how Vyasadeva became enlightened, and now he distributes it. You taste, you realize, you distribute it to his son Sukadeva, who is already self-realized, which is called Atmarama. He was satisfied in the self, but still attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. And a famous verse is going to come up soon. We'll discuss that next week, called the Aparama verse. Aparamas chamunayo nigridant apyukrame kavanta hoitikim bhaktin. He was already satisfied in his heart. He had nothing to do with this world. He came to the point of, there's this type of self-realization which the Gyanis pursue, where you realize the self, but not so much about God. Even in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, God is there, but it doesn't say what happens when you realize. You know, he can inspire you to realize the self, but it doesn't, where is he in the picture when you become realized? But anyway, he was self-satisfied. He was self-satisfied. But yet he became attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. And this is one of the key points in the Bhagavatam, that the form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna are not the kind of thoughts that you transcend, because they're part of the ultimate reality. Part of the ultimate reality is a thinking of, feeling for, willing to. Not something that you transcend. It's a beautiful part of the ultimate reality, which is rasa vaisaha. It's an exchange with God. And you can have a certain type of realization where you don't need the world, and you just kind of have a certain satisfaction in dwelling in yourself. And some people think that that's the summum bonum, that's the highest thing. And here it is, well, it's not the highest thing, because there's something spiritual which you can still be attracted to if you're fortunate. And that's the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. On Wednesday, we're studying the book, The Jiva Dharma. And when we study that book, The Jiva Dharma, you know, it starts with this Mayavadi sannyasi who's very advanced. And he's meditating, and then in Varanasi, and then a sadhu comes by. And the sadhu has pure bhakti emanating from his heart, which is expressed, and that's kirtan, when the bhav in the heart, I mentioned this. It's expressed, that love is expressed. And when that love is expressed, one who hears it touches that love. That's one of the main ways that bhakti is communicated. It touches that love. When the bhakti is expressed, it touches that love. And when it's heard, so He heard Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai 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 Gauranga, Nitai 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 Gauranga, Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari. So he heard, and it just influenced his heart. I want this, but because I want nothing in the material world, I've already achieved that, then this must be spiritual. It's a higher dimension of reality that I had not yet understood. I was seeing the mountain from the distance, and I thought, yes, that is the mountain. I'm seeing the total mountain, and it's a homogeneous entity. But now I'm closer, and I see there's more to it. I was seeing the mountain, but now I'm seeing the mountain more deeply. So it's a certain type of self-realization where you're seeing reality and are satisfied, but you can get closer to it. And you can realize it even deeper. So that's what happened. They realized it was the ultimate reality. He saw the ultimate reality. And that's what happens to Sukadeva Goswami. He was so satisfied. The story was he didn't want to come out of his mother's womb for 14 years. Don't ask me what that looks like. It's funny, the Shastra, you can't figure out everything intellectually. I believe it, but I don't understand how it is true. He went out. And then he left, and his father sent his students to find him, and they were revising verses of the Bhagavatam, and when he heard those verses of the Bhagavatam, he became attracted. When he heard those verses of the Bhagavatam, he became attracted. Purport, Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras compiled by the same author. So we know this. That Vyas made the Vedanta Sutras and thought to really have it understood fully, he needed to make his own commentary. This Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. So that itself is a high book. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization, simply by hearing the topics, because it inspires. When you hear about Krishna, it inspires the desire to serve, and that's self-realization. That's who we are. We are servants. What is a self? It's a servant. What is self-realization? To realize you're a servant, and to look and to look through the eyes in that consciousness. In Vrindavan, last 2 weeks, I would have a japa seminar. Just somehow these two devotees that I met, this couple. Anyway, it's such a long story how you meet people, but the couple, they have a kirtan band in Russia, which is very famous. And somehow or other, you know, it's not that, you know, kirtan bands, it's not like America. We got all these Krishna Das and this, that, and Mayapuris and this, but somehow or other, it's not so much done like that. And my impression in Russia is many more people can be spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But the general public opinion is more negative than it is in America. Somehow it seems like a contradiction. So they would come, and I have this way of doing a japa seminar. And it culminates in the culmination of self-realization is you live in the self, not in the false ego. And the false ego is antithetical to the self. The false ego is, I'm the center, let me control and enjoy. And the real self is the mood of service. And you live in that mood that's very peaceful. And that's the mood of gratitude. That's the mood of gratitude. That's the mood of compassion. That's the mood of humility. So when you really embrace these moods in a spirit of devotion and really live in that consciousness, and that's self-realization. So Bhagavatam is meant to bring you into that mood. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahamsas or those who are totally engaged in self-realization, it works into the depth of the hearts of those who may be worldly men. So especially for those who Bahunam Janganam Mante Gyanava Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Savandhiti Samahma, for those Mahatmas who are already Bahunam have cultivated so many years, Bahunam Janmanam Mante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyante, they're Gyani, they have knowledge, and then they've come to this point of surrender. But it's also for people who are worldly men, because they can become attracted the same way. And if the worldly man has any sense of self-introspective, he'll become humble, understanding that he's not in control of his senses and his... Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification, but even such men will find in this Vedic literature a medial measure for their material disease. Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very beginning of his birth, and his father taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of the compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Krishna. So we know that the sage of Dhammacharya asked the question, now that Krishna has left the planet, where will knowledge and religion be maintained? The answer was, it's the Bhagavatam. Then comes Maharaj Cricket. When Maharaj Pickett was ruling the world as a king of Bharatvarsha, he chastised the personality of Godhead, Kali. According to the revealed scriptures and astrological calculations, the age of Kali is in its 5,000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before the Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before Mahabharata. This is an estimation of the date of the compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under the instructions of Narada. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science for following the path of Nivritti Marg. The path of Nivritti Marg was condemned by Narada. That path is the natural inclination for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is to cure the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. So anybody have any questions? If someone would just say hello, I'll know that people are still in the class. Okay, Gail, Hare Krishna, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I hear Henry, thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Lisa.
My name's Therese.
Is Lisa?
Yes, Lisa.
And her and her daughter, right? Lila.
Yep, Lila Manjari.
Okay. And who else? Okay, and who else is there today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Nanda Dalla. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Thank you, Nanda. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you have one
right.
Second, and I have a small question.
Yes.
The question is, you know, when I was reading, Rishabhdev, you know, talking to his sons, you know, that verse touched me, and it is actually bothering me for a long time. So I wanted to ask you, he mentioned, you know, that unless you develop love for me, you cannot get out of the bodily designations, you know. Means he's telling, Prithirina Javat, Mohit Vasudeve, Namuchyanti, Deho Yogena Tavat. Until you develop love for me, you cannot get out of this bodily, means in a birth, death, old age, and diseases.
Yeah. What's the question?
So, yeah, my question is that, you know, we are doing sadhana bhakti, you know, we are not that will bring us the love of God, you know, or, you know, we need the kripa or mercy. Because of our own, we cannot develop love for God and you cannot get out of this bodily cycle.
Well, it's one of the symptoms of devotional service, pure devotional service, is that it's very rare.
Is that
it's bhava. And real bhakti means bhava. Real bhakti is our desire to serve mixed with the energy of Krishna that energizes us to actually understand our particular relationship with Krishna. So it says it's very rare because not just by practice can you get it, but practice at the level of a shakti or, you know, really intense desire. But sadhana will bring you that. So sadhana won't, but it'll bring you that. But even if it is brings you that, Krishna won't immediately give it. He waits some time because it shows you it's in his hands. So God is merciful. He will respond to those who seek shelter and depend on him. But it's still mercy because there's nothing we can do to earn it. Our effort and things can't possibly pay for the highest thing, which is prema bhakti. So it's still mercy. But our practice alone won't get it without the mercy of Krishna. Does that help?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Kalachandri. I have pretty good reception here on the internet. So if we send a message in the next few days, I'm here today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I guess I will leave on Wednesday for Italy, and I'm not sure what my situation will be there. And then I'll be back next week here. I'm in Moscow from the 22nd to the 27th. So let's try to coordinate. We can actually Skype and talk, okay?
Great. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you for being a good listener. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Priya.
Priya, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'll be in America in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Kishori.
Anybody else? Kishori, huh? Must be missing Braj.
Certainly.
It's a good feeling. I also. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajrade.
Thank you, Brajrade. And yeah, we'll have to coordinate a visit to you also once or twice at least when I'm over there.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. It's not everybody has to say hello. It's not obligatory. It's just nice sometimes. Okay, well, thank you. Somehow or other, we pulled it off again, and we were able to give class. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna. One should hope that we do this.